fishes. We're not fishes. Yes, I'm fishing.
Paul Bunyan. I can tell the weekend is here because the temperatures are rising. It's going to be hot, but that hasn't slowed the fishing down yet this year. No reason to think it will be this weekend. And if you want to catch fish this weekend, you came to the right show. Bro Brosdahl is here, and he's got a ton of info for you. And it starts right now. Welcome to Fishing Paul Bunyan Country, sponsored by Visit Bemidji. Well, it's always great to talk to Brian Bro Brosdahl. Bro, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kevin.
So you're out fishing a little bass today? That's a little unusual for you.
It is. It is. typically, I guide in July and August, prime time, and so I usually do half days in, 4 to 5 hours, 5 hours if they're biting, because I don't want to make people leave a good bite, but well, we're leaving sharp at 4 if it's a slow bite, but that way I can try to fit two half days in. And some every now and then, if I want to torture myself, I'll do 3. But it's that time of year when you got to make hay.
Absolutely. But you're getting ready to actually try to fish a bass tournament. Is that correct?
Yes. We're actually out on Pocagamo, which has a smallmouth and largemouth bass population, and not too far from, it's a 45-minute drive from our house, and just went there to try it and just get all the kinks ironed out. So I have quite a few walleye trips before the Eye Falls Bass Tournament, and just trying to remember how to ride a bike here a little bit, so to speak.
And this is kind of a date day for you, too. You got your wife with you.
Yeah, Heather's out here, and we've got some really nice smallmouth bass. And, just when you think you can try to lift them or net them, they go back down, then they go back down again, and they jump, and they're all over the place. And so you have to, it takes a little netting practice, because when you're lifting up the bass or when you're lifting up the net, you gotta make sure that you sweep quick, because they can swim over the top of a net so fast, it's amazing. And just trying different techniques that we normally would try, and it's been a blast, and something different. And it's fun. I mean, it's just something different. When you are actually in a bass tournament, you forget about all other species of fish, because they're a hoot to fish for. What else jumps like they do? And right. Smallmouth bass are just spastic.
Yeah, they pretty much are. Oh, well, that's good luck to you in the tournament. Like you said before we got on the air, you're going to be fishing against some good ones in that tournament.
Oh, absolutely. You can't. I mean, why do we do it? Because it's there, and it's a kind of a what's a fishing vacation with a little bit of stress. That's a tournament. Yeah. If you don't do a tournament, you might not go, or you might just go and kind of get up late. But when you do a tournament, you have to go to the place and fish it really well, which means you have to practice and do everything you're supposed to, and look over, don't leave a rock unturned. And Rainy Lake is just a gorgeous lake. I fished with other partners, but it's pretty hard not to go there. If you're married and you show pictures of where you've been, you might get divorced after that, because rocky outcroppings with pine trees on islands, and every now and then you'll see a monster buck on the shore because there's a lot of minerals in the ground, and maybe if you're lucky a moose or a bear, but you're pitching for bass, and where else can you catch a walleye on top water?
Yeah. Now, that's a really good question. That is
yeah.
Rare. And that's a fun. That's just a fun tournament to go to, I'm guessing, just because I know all the people who fish there, and they're just the who's who of fishing. They're good people, and they all know how to catch fish, and I bet it's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, and I actually heard about the tournament from Dwayne Peterson many years ago after the first one, so I started on the second one, and I've been to everyone. Last year we didn't get to do it, but I've been there ever since, and one day's on the river, the ever-fluctuating river, and one day's on the lake, and some people have jet boats, and the upper part of the Rainy River is treacherous. There's stumps, there's logs, there's rocks, there's wing dam, or, you know, natural structures that you could actually hit, and so a person's got to be super careful. Even in a jet boat, you don't want to get knocked out of there, but we just always played it through. We used our Ranger and ran our great big Ranger from the takeoff, some days all the way down to Birchdale, and I wondered why I ever did that. But now you could choose the river or the lake, and I want to keep my boat intact. And I've had people follow me that took their lower unit off, and they're right in my bubble trail with a bass boat. So it's even if you know it well, it doesn't mean you know it 100. You know, you're not going to make it every time. So I love fishing that river. There's a lot of bass in that river, and you catch other stuff. Anglers catch big muskies. They catch walleyes there, saugers. Once in a while, you'll tag a sturgeon, you know, and you never know what you're going to catch. But in the bass tournament, everybody's got stories of big pike, some of them over 40, and muskies. I know someone who had one up to 55 inches out there for fishing for bass. So it's kind of an excuse to catch everything and chase those little brown fish that jump. And, you know, for some people, oh, he stole my leech. Can't wait to get him off the line. But when you're in a tournament and that big fish goes to jump, your heart's in your throat.
Yeah. Well, bro, you're out guiding most of the time in the summertime right now. I'm real curious, you know, with the heat and the drought, you talked about, you know, people ruining their motors. I would think that places that typically aren't dicey for a boat might be now with the lower water levels.
Oh, yeah. Be real careful out there. If you can get your boat in, there's some lakes you can't even get your boat in unless you got a smaller one on rollers. And there might be those blowholes that everybody seems to, or especially the department hates. Those are like the only way you can get your boat in some lakes, because you're dumping it and rolling it off a trailer. But my Ranger ain't getting in every lake, and I do have other boats that are, you know, little kick around boats that I use sometimes for guiding, but you're not going to get in everywhere. Those accesses that were shallow or didn't have a dock, unless you have a four-wheel drive that you could back up in the water, but which ain't good for your bearings. But on somebody's water, things that used to go over or miss are hittable. And we're in an area that was logged over, and there's a lot of logs that sank, and those logs are stuck in the bottom by ice movements. And they were, some spots were 3 feet below the surface. Well, now they're extremely hittable. And I see jet skiers and water skiers out in areas that are just treacherous with stumps on area lakes that people that live there or have cabins there don't even realize how many stumps there are. Almost all of our bodies of water have deadheads and stumps. Leech Lake, Cass Lake is loaded with them. Winnie has them. And you'll be out in the middle of the lake or in a bay, and there's a stump just below the surface, three feet. Well, now it's, if someone comes down off a jet ski or a regular ski, you could get hurt. Outside of that, the fishing was kind of tough, a little bit slow, but the heat has not slowed down the walleye fishing. They're using up that pile of food in their stomach called mayflies, and now they're having, you know, some appetite, and they're starting to bite. Butterfly spinner blades from Northland Tackle are working about the best in the area. I can't go wrong with metallic colors, gold, even the kind of gold perch is a hot one, if you can find it, because you look around, that's the one that's selling pretty hot. Of course, Lake of the Woods is kicking out some giant fish. I have relatives up there, and I know the resort people, and they're seeing some real monsters up there. And fish over 30 inches aren't uncommon. And in area lakes, all the lakes, the fish are starting to bite. Always look to the weeds and then go from there, even working your way off structure. But anything that's got weeds, it's going to hold fish. Mimic minnows. Plastics are working really good. Pink and white mimic minnows, about the best color I've used in most areas. Just throw it out, reel it back just like it's a crankbait, kind of stopping every now and then to let the fish catch up. And even puppet minnows. Ripping puppet minnows works really well. If you got a boat full of people, you probably don't want to be casting weapons like that. Or make sure you know who's casting. But they work. Throw them out there and jig them across the sand, kind of bouncing off the bottom in. Looks like a fleeing crayfish. Water depths, 14 to 18 feet, has been really good for walleyes. There are some fish starting to move out a little bit, but a little reluctant to drop deep. Some years the fish will be deep, and this is one of those years that they really like the weeds. And with hot temperatures, one thing to remember, shallow walleyes are digesting, and sometimes they don't always bite. But at night, they get a little bit hungry again, and night trolling has been fantastic on a lot of area lakes. And Winnie's one of the new emerging night lakes. It's got clear water, long bars that are same depth everywhere, so easy for trolling, very desirable place to go pull some rumble crankbaits. The whole Northland crankbait series is just designed for night trolling with the metallic colors, so get a Rumble Bee or check out here at ICAST. They're debuting the Rumble Bug. That's going to be fantastic. Just a small wide-bodied shad style bait that's smaller and kind of works everything for crappies, walleyes, and it's going to be a fantastic bait for trolling our area lakes from here to Brainerd.
It is so good to hear you talking about Winnie again. The lake's been a little quiet the last few years.
Winnie's been really quiet, and my hat's off to the DNR stocking program there. They're doing a fantastic job with the office over in Grand Rapids. Very commendable. Their stocking efforts here in the last few years created a massive amount of walleyes, and they're doing some different stuff than in the past, and it's, you know, we're gonna have a lot of fish. There's so many 11 to just under 13 inch walleyes there, and there's some bigger ones. They haven't left the lake. Those nicer ones are there. Just have to get through the smaller ones, and yeah, they're a little bit too small to keep. The people ice fishing last year were catching over 100 on the sports clicker. But most of them, and I've been there, were small. And for fear of mortally hooking some, I chose not to fish wherever I was catching the little ones. They will take it deep sometimes, and I don't want to do that. But the lake is full of fish. If you want to get out there and experience Winnie, it's a blast. And if it's sunny out, granted, sunny and hot's not good anywhere, you could still catch fish there. Just go in the weeds. And there's not a lot of really good cabbage, but if you find a stand of cabbage, there's going to be walleyes near it. Steep edges always hold walleyes. And sometimes they'll be in the 20s, anywhere from lower to mid-20s. Been a phenomenal bite there from corner to corner. And if you're not seeing fish on your graph, they're not there. Keep moving. The hummingbird doesn't lie. I always wondered if they should put in a mode there that shows fish on the days that it's really tough so I'd feel better. But if you're not seeing them, get out of that area. And with new technology, like side imaging's been around. I've been using it for 8 years, and now it's kind of mainstay in fishing. And if you're not seeing them on down, regular sonar or side imaging, keep moving in. There's a lot of fish. And that's a big lake with hundreds of sandbar rock pile structures on it, so you could have the whole place yourself. You don't have to go fish by boats. You could find your own school of fish. They always bite on leeches out there, crawlers, and if you like fishing jigging a minnow, that Winnie is the lake you want to go to, because that never gets old on that lake to the fish. They like it, and you could fish jigging a minnow on Winnie year round. Slip bobbers work well. You know, use a speed corking is the old term, the first term I've ever heard of using slip bobbers on Mille Lacs more than, 20, 25 years ago. Speed corking is nice. You see the fish, you set the depth where you see the fish, and drop it behind the boat when you see them. Pull away, and then hit the anchor button on your Minn Kota spot locking, and that works really well. They still bite on rigs there. There's rusty crayfish in Winnie now. We're starting to see them. I've seen a couple in the wintertime. They have the little red dot on their side, so they are in there. And pulling rigs, sometimes the rusties will grab your bait. But just get it off the bottom. Use a gumdrop floater with a leech, and you'll be doing really well. The perch are getting bigger out there. Winnie's just a success story, and it starts with some of those good stocking things that they've done, and also, you know, just the forage in the lake is just fantastic. And for pike, there's quite a few people out there that like catching decent pike. You can't beat Winnie. I mean, it's just got the good average size, and your bigger pike like cold water, so they're going to be deeper off the steep breaks.
Bro Bros, all my guest today. He's got a lot more to tell us next. This is Fishing Paul Bunyan Country.
Hi, this is Dick Beardsley with Dick Beardsley Fishing Guide Service. Are you looking to plan a fishing trip? Look no further, as Bemidji, Minnesota is your year-round destination for walleyes, pike, muskie, bass, perch, crappie, panfish, and more. With over 400 fishing lakes within a 25-mile radius of Bemidji, come take a cast at becoming a fishing legend. While you're on your fishing adventure, come take a picture with the historic Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox. Discover the first city on the Mississippi, Bemidji, one step further.
Welcome back to Fishing Paul Bunyan Country. Bro Brosdahl is my guest. We've been talking about Lake Winnie, and one thing about Lake Winnie, bro, a lot of people don't realize. I think most people actually realize that they've got a real strong perch population, good size perch, and plenty of them. They're very active. But a lot of people probably don't realize just how solid their northern population is. Very consistent, very good sizes.
Oh, and this winter was a true eye-opener. Went out there just to see if I can get a few. And all of them were big. Everywhere I went that day, you know, the barometric pressure was stable at 30. The salooner table showed excellent. Went out there. Every hole you drilled anywhere, I'm like, well, let's go try here. And they were there. Everywhere you went, there was big jumbo perch. Then, you know, so a couple weeks later, I'm going to go try that again. Went out there and couldn't find them anywhere. And the salooner table was bad and the pressure was high. So it's, you know, it's that lake has some beautiful perch, and every now and then talking to some of my friends at the resorts, they're measuring true over 14 inches. And in all my years of fishing and guiding out there, I only know of one that was close, and it was just under 14 inches, and it was caught by a client, and it didn't, I can't give it a 14, even though I said it's not 14, it's under 14. But now they're catching true mouth closed, tail pinched on a ruler perch over 14s, but it's, you know, maybe one in a batch out of a group, or sometimes you get a couple, so there's some real bruisers. You start getting in that 14-inch class or a little bit bigger, they're 2 pounds. So we're seeing some true trophies, and forage is a big thing. You know, those dreaded rusties that attack people's baits and eat all the cabbage are growing some really, really big perch in the area, and, you know, it's an invasive kind of with a benefit is what the DNR calls it, and I say so. Do you miss your cabbage? I don't. I like fish. So I'd trade fish for cabbage any day. And they're eating the cabbage up at Lake of the Woods, up in the angle and all that stuff. But all the muskies are holding the other stuff. And forage is always a big thing. And I could see there's kind of a correlation between those rusties and big perch out there in Winnie. For many years, it was stagnant. The perch were spawning at an earlier age, and so small perch were spawning, which isn't good. They had to mature fast. The lake kind of takes care of itself, but now that there's food, they're getting big, and the pressure's coming back because of the internet. The internet really brought a lot of houses out there, but good thing is, if you're in a portable, you can move fast. If you're in a great big wheelhouse, you're only going to move that so many times.
No kidding.
Yeah, so it's back, and it's really close to Paul Bunyan country. It doesn't matter if you're listening from the Brainerd area, Mille Lacs, even northern Minnesota. I know people have driven down to fish Winnie You know, if Lake of the Woods, if you get a heavy wind and you don't like rollers, you don't want to go there. But Winnie, you can access from a lot of different angles and fish the where the wind's blowing out of and have a good day. You know, it's if you're not seeing them and you're trying one depth, go opposite, polar opposite, go to a different zip code. I always say if you're not getting them and you're having really bad luck and no hope, just go to the other side of the lake. That's what we do in tournaments if everything's going wrong. And so I think you're going to have fun there. And Bemidji's getting super, super clear. I fished it earlier this year, and it seemed to have about a 7 foot of clarity. And last time I was there, I could see the bottom in 10 feet like it was an aquarium. And but that lake has a lot of cabbage, so it's going to fish a little friendlier for everybody than some of the other really clear lakes. Winnie's clear, Bemidji's clear, and Cass is super clear. Now Leech is clearing up also, which is going to create weed growth deeper, and it's going to change it. So it's either sink or swim, so adapt to clear water fishing, and you might like it because in a lot of ways it's easier. In other ways it's tougher. If you're a traditional fishing methods from the past, probably ain't going to like it. Watch the Bassmaster Elite and see what they're catching them on and switch that over to walleye fishing, and you'll be right up the alley.
You know, thinking about all those 11- to 13-inch fish on Winnie, just think what the next several years is going to bring once they move into that next level size.
It's fantastic. It's unbelievable. And they're kind of small right now. I'm not clamoring to take people out there and club a bunch of tiny fish, but they do grow fairly fast out there. That's a fast growth lake in are fairly fast, you know. But it's going to be fantastic in the next couple of years. That being said, you know, fingers crossed that it all depends on how many people they let out there on the ice. You know, it's we've seen what Red Lake can do, 50,000 acres. And there's thousands of people out there with houses, but how many meals do they have while they stay?
Sure.
And then take their limit home. And how many fish? It's not like the old days where people went up and just took a limit, or came over and took a limit. It's multiples. And some don't. I mean, there's people. I've had quite a few clients that don't even keep a fish. They just want to catch fish all day. And but that's. I like eating fish. I mean, so you're out there, you get one that's gut hooked, you know, don't stuff it down the hole by any means, but I'll be ready to set the hook early if you're on a school of small ones, or use lures that don't have treble hooks, you know, like buckshots. You could switch out the hook or set the hook faster.
One of the things that has surprised me this year with the just stifling heat we've had and the drought is how stable the walleye fishing has stayed, even into deep July.
Yeah, I was really surprised. You know, it was tough after the never-ending mayfly hatch. It was the mayfly hatch didn't happen over one or 2 days. It happened over 2 weeks, almost 3 weeks. I was still seeing their skins on the water, and the fish were really stuffed with them. And then throw in crayfish losing their shell and being like a soft little a crab omelet on the bottom. They could just suck them in and chow them down, and so the fish were just stuffed full of food. And when you bring in a walleye, it would shake. It would do the rattlesnake shake of its head, and then the food would go all over your boat. Well, now it's not like that as much. You're catching fish, and they're not as messy, and their stomachs are becoming empty. When they start chasing perch, which is coming up, and it always does, that's a fantastic time of year. Grab some mimic minnows, grab a Rumble series bait, whether you want to go use a deep diver or a smaller, just check out the Northland Rumble series and pick some colors that match the hatch on your lake and start throwing those. You don't have to use a bait caster. You can put them on a spinning reel. If you got a kid with a Snoopy rod, put it on that, but go out there and throw the Rumble series, and you'll be surprised. When they start chasing minnows, they hammer the puppet minnows. They love plastic. And with clear water, plastic is way more effective than dark water, because it's more about the action, the profile, the bait, and that's everything. So you don't even, the clearer the water gets, the less you'll need bait in the summertime, especially when they're chasing perch.
From what I know about Bro Brosdahl, who wears, you know, shirt sleeves in the middle of winter outside, this summer has got to have been just a killer for you.
Oh, it's I think of ice fishing all the time. If you look back at my posts,
yeah,
you'll see a polar bear with a fish in his mouth. You'll see me. The one time I was able to get to the ice after a show, I ran out and I had my hands in the air, and Heather took a picture of it because I was so excited to get on the ice. There's something so pure and satisfying about ice. It's clean. It's solitude. You don't have to go to a, you know, some people just go to a lake because it's crowded, because it's fun. I try to find something where there's nobody. It, you know, might not have the best bluegills or the best. You might get one walleye that night, but I'm going to go to that lake because it's quiet. And there's thousands of lakes to choose from. Just in the Bemidji viewing area or the listening area here, there's several thousand lakes. Itasca has over 1,000 by Grand Rapids. Bemidji has close to 1,000 within 100 miles, and Brainerd in between. So there's so many lakes, and you could go out there and have peace and solitude. And ice fishing is so much fun, and it's not about just plucking fish. I don't go out there to pluck fish. If you know me well, you know I don't like cleaning them. I mean, I just love catching fish, and there's something fun. And it's very communal, because in your boat, there's a little tag that tells you how many people you can have in your boat, and there's a limit. But on the ice, you could bring your friends, you could bring a family, and if the spot's not too secret, you can even bring people you just kind of know, you know, because there's no limit on how many people you could bring, you know, and you know, that's a fun thing. And you see it, everybody's friendly through the ice, and no one's overheating or sweating. You know, when I look at some clients in my boat and they're sweating bad, and I go, do I look like that? And they say, worse. And, you know, it's hot. And we had those days that it was close to 100.
Yeah.
Well, I could tell you, you know, everybody out there knows me. You know, I was not a very happy camper that day. So,
no, I've thought of you a lot this year, this summer, knowing that.
Yeah, I was out there. I was out there every day during it, you know, and it was the best thing about it is I get to choose the spots we go to, and on the really hot days we fish farther away from each spot. So, and I got built-in air conditioning when I go fast.
you touched on... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was saying, I leave my window open, the middle window, so everybody gets fresh air.
There you go. Well, it's ICAST week. A lot of new product being introduced to the masses. Bro Brosdahl usually gets the inside scoop on a lot of those. We'll get his thoughts on some of the new stuff coming out next. But right now, it's time for another podcast exclusive. We checked in with Steve Sapania from Predator Guide Service while he was on the boat fishing on Lake Mille Lacs. How's the bite out there?
You know, Kevin, it's been sort of interesting today. You know, we've got a strong wind, moved us around to different locations. I didn't plan on moving, but seen some nice-sized muskies, you know, had a couple nice-sized pike. I'm with a couple of nice gentlemen, Klaus and Mike, and so far, you know, we've got pike up to the upper teen mark, which has been good. Muskies have been doing as they usually do. They're being a little elusive for us. Weather conditions have been pretty fair and stable. We did get a little rain today, which we need. You know, the farmers call it $1 million rain, and that's exactly what it was. Thing is, we need more of it. Otherwise, everything's been going, you know, par for the course, you know, for this time of year. Water temperatures are looking a little bit more stable. We're not having the cold fronts during the early morning hours like we've had. In fact, I'm getting a little concerned. We're supposed to have a heat wave coming up. Mm. So it is summer in Minnesota, and that's about the way it goes for us, I guess.
It sounds like you've been seeing plenty of muskies.
Yeah, we've been seeing plenty of fish, you know, the last few times out. You know, if they're not following like today, they weren't following, but they were swimming around us. They came and surfaced, you know, and showed themselves, which is more aggravating because we know they're here, Kevin, and they're not interested in what we got to present to them, but the northern pike are, so that's fun, too.
So is there any tricks you have to to land a muskie when they're just not in the mood, or do you just have to wait till they're in the mood?
Well, basically, we're just going to have to wait till they get in the mood. What we do is, you know, I like the form of intimidation. So, like today with the gentleman I got, I told him, too, let your lure sink down. You know, one of the bigger pike today that was boated was, had a leech underneath on its gill. And I know I mentioned it before. If you start catching fish with leeches on their body anywhere, especially underneath the gill, they're laying right near the bottom. So that just verified letting the presentation get down further. Thing is, we need to have that window of opportunity open a little bit more and smile upon us and get the mouths open as well.
You know, do you think that this change in water level and because of the lack of rain and the heat of the water, is that causing any changes?
Oh, definitely. Whenever you got less water, you're changing, you got different type of structure. And that's what's happening too, you know. The deeper weed beds in the 12-foot range have become now the 9.5, 10-foot range. And the water temperature, you know, even though it's surface temperature, and that kind of change of depth, it's going to move downwards too. So instead of having a thermocline in that type of water condition, when it's shallower, the thermocline is gone. So what you got on the surface is going to be just a couple degrees less down below. And that does hurt, you know. We need to keep things stable. We need to keep the water level stable, too. This way, you know where the fish are, the 12-foot range or the 14-foot range, and you can adjust your game plan accordingly.
If you're getting on the water, a lot of people are having problems. You having problems as well?
A lot of the landings right now are just about inaccessible. You got to be careful. I know that landing down by Isle, if you don't know the little groove that's made into that landing, you know, in the ground, you're going to be racking up on some logs and some rocks. So all the landings are showing the effects, you know, shallow water. A lot of times, you know, a lot of these landings where it used to be safe to gun your boat on the trailer, while you try gunning it now, the rear end touches down and so does your bottom skag. It's going to be touching the bottom as well. So, you know, maybe it's best this time of year when the water conditions are low, folks, go ahead to one of the resorts that has a deeper landing. It's worth giving them the $10 or $15. You not only have a deeper landing, you know, it also adds you a little bit of sense of security sitting at a private spot as well.
You have to back up further into the lake, and that could cause all kinds of problems.
Oh, most definitely. I had that happen once about 6 years ago, 7 years ago. We were filming an episode for a DVD, and backed up, and the bottom of the boat trailer got hung up on one of the bricks, you know, the landing, the pylons, whatever they call them there, to make the landing. And it took quite a while to get that trailer, you know, off of that area. And it was just a headache, you know. Half hour to 40 minutes was a lot of time that was out of the schedule.
Yeah. Oh, man. What are you hearing from some of the other anglers on some of the other lakes these days?
You know, it's been the same scenario. The panfish are going pretty good on most of the other lakes, but the size isn't there, Kevin. We're still getting a lot of 3 to a pound, which is decent-sized bluegills. Crappies have slowed down a little bit. You know, the warmer water temperatures has them going into deeper areas. Right now, if you're after crappies, folks, try to find that 12-foot range. 10 to 14-foot range is ideal. On the edge of the bulrushes with any type of cabbage, that's where the crappies are going to be hanging, right off that edge of the cabbage. So that's where your location is going to be. A lot of them are for the crappies, Kevin, are 3 to a pound also. You know, trying to find those nice eating size half pounds has been a little difficult, but they've been smart. You know, with the shallower water, they're also going deeper, you know, below the thermocline where it's more comfortable for them. Smallmouth bass has still been tough on Mille Lacs Lake, as well as the largemouth bass has been tough. Again, it's the water temperatures, and, you know, that'll do it anywhere. Northern pike, like I said, we're catching some nice ones, been seeing some nice ones as well. There's a lot of small ones are still being caught yet, but the nicer ones are moving in, which is always fun to see. So that's doing okay. I think we're still behind, though, where they should be this time of year, but again, blame the weather. And you all know the muskie report. It could be better, but that's muskie fishing.
Yeah, it is. When typically do you start to see the muskies really start to get busy?
You know, this is a fantastic time of year. This is, you know, usually this is a good time of year, gets busy. August is pretty good, too. September, things really get kicking off, and as well as October. But, Kevin, this time of year is usually a good time for muskie fishing. What has hurt us is having like that whole week and a half in June, 80-degree, 81-degree water temperature. Mm-hmm. That does not help having everything grow, you know, that quick as far as water temperatures. Not only did it raise, you know, put a stress on the fishing, it also got weed beds that don't normally show up in the game plan of fishing till about the end of July or August. We get different weeds. They've already showed up in June. We've got that long grass that grows 12 to 14 feet long, normally breaks off for us here on Mille Lacs Lake about the end of August. Sometime in September, that long, deep grass breaks off and floats away and dies. That stuff broke off 3 weeks ago. So that just shows you how far and how goofy everything is ahead of schedule.
What are the water temps right now?
I'm looking at just about reaching 75, so I'm happy with that. When it gets to be too high, I don't like chasing the muskies. You know, I'll start my trips early in the morning before sunrise so we don't have the heat. But right now I'm happy with 74.9. It's not a bad temperature, you know, as long as it stays stable. Like I said, one thing that bothers me is coming up here, we've got that massive heat wave coming in. So we'll see how things are going to end up. It's going to be early morning fishing and late evening fishing for us.
All right, Steve, if people want to go musky fishing on Mille Lacs with you, how do they go about getting signed up?
I tell you what, thank you, Kevin. Go to my website, folks. This is all one word, predatorguideservice.com. Check it out, predatorguideservice.com. I do have a few days open. I didn't realize I had the first week of August. Give me a call. We can talk about working something out as far as, you know, helping out with the trip, and we'll have a great time.
He's Steve Sapaniak. Steve, as always, thanks for taking the time today.
My pleasure, Kevin. Thank you.
This is Fishing Paul Bunyan Country. Bro, you were talking about ICAST this week and that there's a whole lot of new stuff coming out. I don't know why they're having ICAST in Orlando, Florida in July, but that's another argument for another day. Nonetheless, anything new out there that you're really excited about?
Oh, super exciting. The new Rumble Bug from Northland Fishing Tackle. Fantastic. This thing is a fish catching machine. I mean, when this comes out, everybody in the area is going to have one because every place I've used it, the fish just chow on it. And I had to keep it secret, you know, but this thing is, and this is balsa. Mm-hmm. You know, it's compression molding at its best, through wire construction, sticky sharp hooks, and a really tight wobble vibration. Works on lead core, works on a straight lining, but it also reels nicely on a spinning reel. You can use it anywhere. And that being said, let's go to ice fishing. The Brobug spoon, this is going to be a nice one. Simple in design, but we needed something that got down fast. It's like a little razor blade that drops down with big eyes sticking out. So it kind of looks like a bloodworm as it's sitting still, because bloodworms are just basically a little noodle. But this is a lead spoon that's thin and it just gets down there quick and with really nice colors, super cool colors like Purple Wonder Bread and Sneeze. I mean, just to give you a couple, just a fantastic bait. And then if you remember the Mud Bug in Gilgutter, I designed that as part of the Bros Bug Collection many years ago. Lead in little jigs is kind of like a little bit on the outs, but we knew that those were really cool and everybody loved them. We're bringing them back, and we brought that original shapes, those two shapes back in tungsten.
Oh.
And with a sticky sharp hook. So we're going to have the Mud Bug, yeah, with the bulging eyes, insect mandible jaw, and even nostrils on a tungsten bait. So, you know, the same six or eight tungsten shapes that all the other companies use that look like some kind of diamond or, you know, chunk of something. Well, you don't have to use that. You can use something that actually has a physical, realistic shape that looks like what's down there. And so the Mud Bug and the Gilgutter are coming in tungsten. So look for the Mud Bug, Gilgutter, the Brobug spoon. And then if you really want to lay some walleyes to rest, pick up the Coffin Spoon. I didn't come up with that name. But the Coffin Spoon is something you'll never forget, because when you drop it, it tumbles. It was a fantastic spoon. We used it last winter, and that thing catches walleyes like you wouldn't believe. It flips as soon as you jig it. It does something different each time. It tumbles. It seesaws. I've watched it kind of spiral down, and the kicker tail kicks. The Coffin Spoon and all those fantastic colors is so good. Secretly, I've been using it in open water, but we'll talk about that another time.
Okay.
And you know, for those other tournament guys that I try to compete against, I'm bringing it, you know, and the coffin spoon has been putting fish in the boat.
Okay.
And it's going to put them on the ice. It put them on the ice all last winter. And so as soon as it comes out, better get one, because if you look at my line, I'm casting really far because of it. And the nice thing about it, it's a spoon. It's got one treble hook. It tumbles. And if you hop it, you can loft it in place so you can fish any depth. You can fish 10 feet, 20 feet, 30 feet. Pitch it out there, use braid with a fluorocarbon leader, and you can just loft it in place, and the fish crush it. Now, granted, you know, watch your pressures and your salooner table and all that stuff. You go there on the day when they're aggressive, it's going to work. So if you got, you know, low pressure or something, try throwing meat at them, but it's been phenomenal bait, and it's going to, you're going to start hearing that one in tournaments. So there's a whole lineup at Northland Tackle. Hummingbird's going to debut their stuff, so we'll talk about that maybe another time. But there's the technology's on a conveyor belt, and it's not going to stop with trolling motors. With the Helix line and Live, Mega Live is going to be fantastic. So that's that kind of technology is getting really, really fantastic. But also, you know, What are we going to do? I mean, are the fish going to come up filleted and cooked already when you go to the lake?
Or,
you know, it's amazing technology, and it really does work. And it's the next level, and it's from a company that makes things easy to use. You're going to see stuff in for open water and ice from Hummingbird, Minn Kota, and then. You know, check out Fish Monkey. They have the best in skin protection for face masks, and they get cool designs. I mean, Minnesota, we never had anything. We just, like, put sunscreen on if it's going to be a blistery day.
Mm-hmm.
Now you just pull up this mask like you're a superhero. And the first time I put one of those on, those masks that they use in Florida, my clients were laughing, thought, well, what are you going to rob us? And they said, no, this is kind of the style. Now it's kind of a big thing up here, but, you know, that face protection and hand protection is good, and it keeps a few spines from going into your hand from walleyes and other critters. So always look to, you know, see what Fish Monkey's coming. Gamma Cats, who's got a pile of stuff for the bass world, and some of that stuff relates to walleyes. If you check up on things, a lot of bass tactics are turning up in the walleye world now and winning most of the stuff. 70% of everything that's been won this year has been on bass tactics for walleyes. So you got to keep an eye on that stuff, and it all fits. And you know, you don't have to drag something through all the time. Sometimes you can cast, or sometimes you can just stand over them. I call it standing on their head when you're fishing right below them. The transducer. So the bass world is creating some new gateways for us in the walleye world. And then, you know, just watch iCast. They're debuting stuff. AquaView has an iPhone-friendly recording device. And so now you can get stuff put onto your smartphone, and you can use it on social media or to show a friend. So much easier. There's a lot of cool things coming out, and I hope I didn't miss anything. But and then Fravel, they're relying on tackle boxes for ice fishing. There's magnets in the tray, so now you could, if you got your little box full of lures, you could tip it over and they don't fall out. And then there's organization to it, waterproofing, rust proofing. That's the next level kind of stuff in soft bags for bait containment, just an amazing amount of stuff, and just different ways to store tackle. So, and then don't forget St. Croix rods. For those of you who use hair jigs for bass or even for walleyes, remember, hair jigs are catching and winning tournaments, and St. Croix has a 710 hair jig rod in their Victory Rod Series. Hard to get right now, but you'll be able to get it pretty soon. They got a pile of stuff They've got a puppet minnow rod, or they call it a jig wrap rod, but, you know, I'm going to say everything puppet minnow. And they have rods coming out, and they're all fantastic. Their rods are just the best on earth, literally. And so there's a great lineup. And then a Sunline has a 12-pound super line that's just going to be great for drop shotting and getting into the jungle, which we'll use for walleyes as the weed growth gets thicker on the clear lakes. Sunline is probably the one line that every walleye pro and every bass pro uses, but you don't see it in every store, but you will. So, you know, so check that out at Sunline. And then, you know, Gamakatsu, if I go back to their stuff, some of their tungsten dropper hooks, in different rigs that they're debuting, we could use, even on Bemidji as the weed growth gets better. And if you'll notice, we still have cabbage out there, but we got a lot of eelgrass coming up, and that stuff holds walleyes. And these new hooks and dropper rigs are going to be perfect for that.
All right. Well, bro, are you booked for the year, or can we still get a trip with you?
Absolutely. I've definitely got the openings in a few openings in August. September's booked, but I have October, and October's a fantastic fishing month. So give me a shout. I'd like to take you out in the Ranger boat. Let's go bass fishing for walleyes.
All right. How do we get a hold of you, bro?
Go to brosguideservice.com or even text me. I don't answer the phone when I'm in a boat, except if you call, Kevin.
Oh, I appreciate that.
And if you've ever known someone who sits on their phone the whole time when they're guiding,
yeah,
that's not a good guide. You know, you got to pay attention to your clients because I want them to catch fish. But so, yeah, give me a shout if you want to go. Let's go chase some walleyes around, and we'll hopefully we catch them, but we'll do our best.
He's our good friend, Bro Brosdahl, on Fishing Paul Bunyan Country. Bro, thanks for taking the time, and enjoy your day on the water.
Well, thanks for having me, and check out my social media stuff, even TikTok, and have fun and enjoy what I put up there.
That's it for today and the week. Have a good time fishing this weekend. We will talk to you next week. The Fishing Paul Bunyan Country podcast is sponsored by Visit Bemidji. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to the podcast at Podcast One or on the PodMN app, which will also give you access to hundreds of other Minnesota-based podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. We love you to listen to the podcast, so you can listen whenever it's convenient for you. I'm Kev Jackson. And don't forget what Jason Durham has to say about you.
I would say that the listeners of Fish and Paul Bunyan Country are the smartest people on earth. Fish Paul Bunyan Country!